Well, again, welcome to Antioch. Welcome to those of you who call Antioch home, those of you who are visiting with us today, and to those of you who may be watching online, a special hello to you as well. We are continuing in our series entitled Blessings, looking at just a few of the blessings and benedictions and doxologies in the Bible. And today we're in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, if you have your Bible and want to go ahead and make your way there. Ephesians chapter 3. So some of you know my story. Like, I didn't actually grow up in Minnesota. I grew up in Texas. And one of the things about growing up in Texas is that all of a sudden, we would get these crazy, violent thunderstorms that would just turn a perfectly beautiful day into like a big thunderstorm. And I can remember on several different occasions thunderstorms coming through that were so strong that they would knock out the power in our house. And so when that would happen, like, we all kind of knew what to do. My parents had taught us, like, we would go and grab candles and we'd go and grab flashlights, and we kind of knew where everything was. But one of the things that I also remember was when the power went out, I remember quickly realizing that we needed power. Like, it was good to have power. We couldn't, like, as a little kid, thinking, like, I couldn't watch TV, I couldn't do certain things, and like, then my mom, after a while, if it was for several hours, my mom would get concerned because there'd be food in the fridge and it was plugged in, and would that go bad? And so as long as the power was on, we were good. But when the power went out, we realized we would be in trouble if we continued to not have power. So we realized that life was better when we had power. We needed power. And I would say the same is true for our spiritual lives. We need the power of Jesus. Amen? We need the power of Jesus. And I think this is the main point that we're going to see in our passage today. And my hope is that as we read this, we can not only be encouraged, but also reminded and grateful for the power of Jesus in our lives. So with that, if you would stand with me as we read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God. You may be seated. I think it's important to remember that there are sort of like two dimensions that make up who you are. There's the outer you that consists of things that people can touch and see, like your body, your skin, your facial expressions, the clothes you're wearing, any scars or imperfections that you have, how tall you are, what color your eyes are, what color your hair is. That's all part of the outer you. Then there's the inner you. And the inner you is the part of you that people can't really see, but it's just as much a part of who you are, just as much as the outer you. The inner you consists of your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions, your consciousness and your spirit and your soul. That's all part of the inner you. Here's what's interesting. As people, we spend a lot of time focusing on the outer person. In fact, I read a statistic the other day that estimated that the fashion and beauty industry generates, get this, $2.5 trillion each year. And the fitness industry generates $135 billion each year. So clearly, people around the world spend a lot of money on the outer person. But here's the truth. While the outer you is certainly important, the inner you, I would say, is even more important. Why? Because while the outer you feels the effects of the aging process with each passing year, it's the inner you that has eternal value. And this is why I believe Paul starts his prayer the way he does. And he prays for the power of Jesus to strengthen their inner persons, their inner being. Look what he says in verse 16. He says, I pray he, referring to Jesus, will strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So by praying this specifically for them, Paul is reminding us of a truth that we should keep in mind. And I thought a lot about how to say this week. And I would say it like this. Strength from the Holy Spirit is one of the most consistent prayer requests we should have for ourselves. Let me say that again. Strength from the Holy Spirit is one of the most consistent prayer requests like you should have for yourself, I should have for myself. And so the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing more than anything else, more than like more money or more time or like things like that, the one thing I need the most in my life is strength from the Holy Spirit. So why should strength from the Holy Spirit be one of our most consistent prayer requests? Well, I think there's three reasons why. Number one, we need strength from the Holy Spirit because every day we face the temptation of sin. Like, whether we want to admit it or not, we face the temptation to sin, to do what we want to do, to gratify our flesh, to give into our earthly desires. We face the temptation to sin. And it's only by the strength of the Holy Spirit that we can do what? Say no to that temptation to sin. We can't do that by ourselves. It's only by the strength that the Holy Spirit gives us to say no to sin. Number two, we have an enemy out there. An enemy out there. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to get us to live different than God. So the enemy's trying to attack us. He's trying to bring temptation to our lives. He's trying to get us to go against God. He's trying to do everything he can to live us opposite of the way that God wants us to. And we can't fight the enemy by ourselves. We need strength from the Holy Spirit to do that. And then number three, why do we need strength from the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes life gets hard. Life gets hard and we face challenges and we face difficulties and we face circumstances and we face trials and we go through the fire of different things and we can't face these things by ourselves. We can't get up each day when life is hard on our own strength. We need strength from the Holy Spirit. So those are three reasons why we need strength from the Holy Spirit. So we should always be praying for strength from the Holy Spirit for ourselves. And so the question becomes, what does this look like practically? How does the Spirit actually strengthen us? Well, I think as we think about how the Spirit strengthens us, I think we first have to remember this. Write this down. Keep this in mind. The Holy Spirit is in our lives to do more than just make us feel good. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit is in our lives to do more than just make us feel good. The Baptist church that I went to for a while, the pastor would always say it like this. The Holy Spirit is here to do more than just make you shout. No one got that. Okay. All right. Basically, the Holy Spirit is here to do more than just make you feel good. I think the Holy Spirit strengthens us with what I call the three C's. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit counsels us. And the Holy Spirit consoles us. It convicts us, counsels us, and consoles us. And all three of these take place in the inner being. So the Holy Spirit convicts us. It convicts us of what? Of sin. Like when we've gone off track from God's will for our lives, or we haven't lived up to the standard God has for us as his children, it's the Spirit that brings that into our minds. This isn't us doing this. Like we do not have the power. Hear me on this. We don't have the power to convict ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. Because left to ourselves, we would only continue to make poor choices and do poor things. But it's the Spirit that places in our mind, hey, that thing that I just did or that thought that I just had, that didn't please God. And when you feel that conviction from the Holy Spirit and then you submit to it, that's you like feeling the power of Jesus through his Spirit. And by doing so, the Spirit is what? The Spirit is strengthening your inner being by making you more like Jesus. So that's one of the ways it does. The power of the Spirit also counsels us. Counsel basically means to give us wisdom and direction in any area of your life. How to handle conflict, how to manage your time, how to manage your money, how to raise your children, how to talk to your spouse, how to sit with a grieving friend, how to handle conflict with a difficult boss. As you receive counsel from the Holy Spirit, you become stronger in Christ. That's him strengthening your inner being. So the Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit counsels us, but he also consoles us. This is the power that taps in when life gets hard, or when we need encouragement, or when things are falling apart all around us and we feel like we want to give up. The Spirit consoles us and it comforts us. It reminds us that we're in the hands of God. It reminds us that nothing is outside of the control of God. So this is why we need the power of Jesus in our lives, because our inner being needs to be strengthened through his power. Then what is the end result of all of this? What happens when the Spirit strengthens our inner being? Look at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So the power of Jesus doesn't just work in our lives so that we can feel better about ourselves. Let me say that again. The power of Jesus isn't working in your life just so that you can feel better about yourself. It's so that Jesus can dwell in us. So that word dwell, the Greek word is katakio. Katakio. And here's what it means. It means to take up permanent residence. So the image we get here is the power of the Spirit. The Spirit wants to work in your life in such a way that Jesus becomes a permanent resident and not just an occasional visitor. A permanent resident and not just an occasional visitor. We don't want Jesus to just be an occasional visitor in our lives. So I think that's the first reason we see that we need the power of Jesus in our lives, because our inner being needs to be strengthened. Then Paul continues his prayer for the power of Jesus to move in their lives. And look at what he shows us next. He shows us this. The power of Jesus helps us experience, but never fully understand, the totality of Jesus' love for us. And Paul explains this in a beautiful way. Look what Paul says at the end of verse 17, going into verse 18. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." So what Paul is saying is this: at least on this side of heaven, we will never fully understand Jesus' love for us. Why? Because it's so grand, it's so majestic, it's so powerful, it's so big. But you can know it when you experience it. I think a good way to think about this is to think about the ocean. I've always been fascinated with the ocean. Even as a little kid, I would look at pictures of the ocean and study how deep the ocean is and how big the ocean is. You can experience the ocean by walking into it, swimming in it, taking a boat across it. You can explore parts of the ocean. But you can never fully understand the entire ocean. Why? Because it's so large and it's so massive. In fact, I read a statistic the other day from the National Ocean Service that said about 85% of the oceans of the Earth's ocean remains undiscovered by humans. So you think about how long humans have been on Earth, and a good 85% remains undiscovered. I think it's the same way with the love of Jesus in our lives. Because the love of Jesus is so big and so grand, we will never fully be able to comprehend how much Jesus loves us. But at the same time, we can still experience the love of Jesus. And Paul gives us four ways we can experience the love of Jesus: how wide it is, how long it is, how high it is, and how deep it is. And I think each of these gives us a deeper appreciation of the love that Jesus has for us. His love is wide enough. Think about this. His love is wide enough to be available to every person on earth. But then think about your life. It also covers your life in that it covers and it forgives every sin you have ever committed. There's no sin in your life that you've ever committed that the love of Jesus cannot cover. His love is wide enough to cover every sin. So sometimes I hear people say, oh, I've done stuff so bad. No. Jesus' love is wide and it covers whatever you think is outside the love of Jesus. There is nothing outside the love of Jesus that he can't cover. Amen? His love is wide. His love is long, meaning it endures. It endures for your entire life. It doesn't run out. Think about this. Even before you were born, even before you were conceived, Jesus loved you. And there has never been, nor will there ever be, a moment in your life that he does not love you. His love endures your entire life. It is long. His love is wide. His love is long. His love is high. How high is his love? Well, think about where Jesus is calling, because he's calling us where? Higher. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He's always calling us higher and higher and higher. Why? Because he loves us. And he doesn't want us to stay the same. His love is high, and he calls us high. And then his love is deep. And this might be the most powerful of them all. His love was so deep. His love is deep. It's deep enough to reach you at the lowest point in your life. When you were stuck in your own sin, when I was stuck in my own sin or stuck in a deep situation, his love goes deep and it pulls us out of that. This is what King David wrote about in Psalm 40. I'm going to put this on the screen here. Listen to what King David said. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Psalm 42, his love goes deep. And it pulls us out. So right now, if you feel like you are in a deep, dark situation, you remember the love of Jesus is deep. And you can never be at such a low place in life that his love can't swoop down and pull you out. And here's the thing to remember about all of this. We can experience the love of Jesus, but the Spirit gives us the power to understand when we are experiencing the love of Jesus. As the word Paul uses, to grasp it, to consciously acknowledge, hey, I experienced the love of Jesus at that moment. So it's not just like my good memory that reminds me of that. It's the work of the Spirit in my life that allows me to think back to times in my life and say, thank you, Jesus, that your love was wide enough or deep enough or high enough or long enough to grab me from them. And then when we do that, what happens? We grow in our appreciation of Jesus. When you think back, the Spirit says, you remember when you were in that situation. You remember when you couldn't figure this out. You remember how you didn't know this was going to work out. The Spirit brings that to mind. You say, you know what? I was experiencing the love of Jesus then. And then what do? We grow in our faith in Jesus because we know that he loves us. Why do we need to know that we have the love of Jesus? Paul puts that in. Why do we need to know this? Because sometimes knowing that you have the love of Jesus will be the only thing you have to stand on. when things are falling apart all around you, it's remembering that Jesus loves you and that Jesus is the firm foundation. That's what you can stand on. The world is full of shifting sands. The things of this world are always changing and shifting and falling apart. But you know what's firm? You know what's stable? That Jesus loves you. And there's nothing that you could ever go through. There's nothing that can hit you hard enough that will knock you off the rock of his love. So we need to not only experience the love of Jesus, but we need to always remind ourselves, I am loved by Jesus. And that is what we stand on, not situational faith. We have faith in the firm foundation of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And then Paul, he keeps going. He keeps going. And he ends with what many Christians throughout the ages have considered to be, and myself included, one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible, verse 20. And at first glance, it seems as if Paul is beginning a new thought here. But when you read this verse in light of the verses before it, I think what we actually see here is that Paul is connecting everything into one continuous stream of thought. So look what Paul says here. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Some translations say exceedingly and abundantly. It means the same. To do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. This verse is two things at once. It's a reason to rejoice and it's a reason to remember. This verse is a reason to rejoice and a reason to remember. It's a reason to rejoice because this verse reminds us, first of all, that nothing is too hard for God. Let me say that again. Nothing is too hard for God. When you feel like you've come to the end of all that you can ask or imagine or think, that is just the beginning of the power of God. So today, if you're facing a situation, you're trying to figure out how it's going to work out, you remember nothing is too hard for God. Amen. But it's also a reason to remember. What do we need to remember? Read this verse closely. He can do immeasurably more according to his power that is at work where? Within us. Within us. So we have to read this verse and remember this. His power isn't at work in us just to do external things and give you external things, but it's internal within us. In the inner being is where his power is working inside of us. Why is this important? Well, here's what often happens when we read this verse. You can read this verse and think only in terms of external stuff. Jesus can give me the house I never imagined. Jesus can give me the spouse I never imagined. Jesus can give me the dream job I never imagined. Jesus can give me more money than I ever imagined. Jesus can give me the physique that I ever imagined. Then we end up reducing Jesus just to someone who can give us external stuff, more external stuff than we could ever imagine. We only think of Jesus in terms of externally, give me external stuff. And while that's certainly true, I think this verse goes deeper than that. What Paul's talking about here is not just Jesus giving you more external stuff than you ever imagined, but Jesus transforming your inner life in ways that you could have never imagined. Not to just give you material possessions, but to draw you deeper into who he is. And he does that in ways that you could have never imagined. So here's what Paul is doing here. He's connecting how he ended the last section with this section. Look how he does this. Go back to verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And then look what he says here. Pay attention to this. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So he says that. Then he goes directly into talking about how Jesus can do immeasurable things within you. So listen, Jesus can fill your life with things, but more importantly, he wants to fill your life with him. And that's what he does in ways that are more immeasurable than you can ever ask or imagine. So what does this look like when his power really starts to work in your life? Well, he gives you more patience than you could have ever imagined. He gives you more love than you could have ever imagined. He gives you more grace for others than you could have ever imagined. He gives you a sensitivity to the lost and the hurting than you could have ever imagined. He gives you a level of faith more than you could have ever imagined. He gives you more peace than you could have ever imagined. He gives you more joy than you could have ever imagined. Here's what I'm trying to say. Jesus can do immeasurably more and more than just areas you can measure. Let me say that again. Jesus can do immeasurably more and more than just areas you can measure. He can increase your finances, but he also wants to increase your faith. He can increase your trust account, but he also wants to increase your trust in him. He can advance your career, but he can also advance your care and concern for others. He can give you a bigger house, but he also wants to give you a bigger heart. So don't just read this verse and think about what Jesus can do on the outside. Because I think the way Paul structures this here, he's talking about what Jesus can do internally. And that's what he does in ways you could have never thought about. That is what the power of Jesus can do in our lives. That is why we need the power of Jesus in our lives. And then you think about this. The most immeasurable thing Jesus ever did was save us from our sins. That is something we will never be able to measure because you cannot measure it. All we know is that he loves us so much, despite who we are, that he died on the cross for our sins. More than we could have ever imagined. And that is what we are about to reflect on now as we prepare for communion. The most immeasurable thing ever, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.